Well, up until July 19th, 2015, I was probably best known as an orthopedic surgeon, although I did blow chauffeur since I was 11, and I did some magic, and I was a father of five boys, and of course, the Prebitson, the husband of Erica, who was the president of Baltimore Hebrew University. Up until that day, that's really what I was, and something was going to change quite radically, and my nom de net was indelibly going to be re-inked. The nom de net is the name of the internet, for those of you who are not savvy about that. What to me was just a typical, ordinary, you know, maybe special doctor-patient relationship was going to lead to a most unimaginable event and occurrence. I first met Dave Grohl, who's a orthopedic icon, a legendary rock and roller. He was the drummer for Nirvana. You know, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum. Okay. And anyway, after Nirvana, Kurt Cobain's death, he founded the Foo Fighters and was a songwriter, singer, guitar player, sometimes drummer for the group, and a really great rock and roll personality. They ran for 20 years as the Foo Fighters and had tremendous hits and a big following. He's a rock and roll legend. And I met him after he had fallen off stage during a performance, his song actually called Monkey Wrench. Wrench, go figure that out. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. Anyway, so he falls off the stage during the song and breaks his ankle. Unlike most musicians who would call it quit after fracturing and dislocating his ankle, by the way, this is not a HIPAA violation. He discloses fully himself. So in the show to, like, you know, 40,000 people. So each time he does a show. So he falls off. He has his fractured dislocation. The band's kind of looking over the stage like, is he alive? What's going to happen? Should we keep playing? You know. So he goes, okay, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, he decides, instead of calling it quits, to have the EMT tech pull on his ankle, and he finishes the set on stage with this dude from Sweden pulling on his ankle. I mean, who does that? Anyway, he does that. So he flies to the UK where my friend fixes his ankle. In follow-up, my friend says, you know, why don't you see Lou Schoen? He's a musician. He's an orthopedic surgeon. And Dave knew somewhat of me because I had taken care of a family member of his who is from Baltimore. And so it was kind of a beshert. It was beshert. So, you know. So anyway, so Dave comes to USA. I meet him on July 4th in RFK Stadium, we hit it off. We talked about bones, because that was pretty important. We talked about music, because I have my rock and roll band. And you know, I could be cool. I got the crazy hair, you know. And we had a lot of fun. You know, we hit it off. We talked about family. We talked about life. And, you know, the highlight of the whole day was probably one of his friends came to try to make him feel better and kind of did like this to his cast. And I was like, that's kind of bogus. I said, I've got my chauffeur here because I'm practicing for chauffeur blowing. And let me show you about complete healing here. So I blew the chauffeur for him in RFK Stadium. It was backstage. And I think he really liked it. So we kept up a good rapport, and I was following him as he was advancing through his rehab. And you want to make sure that the guy's safe on stage, but he has to give a good performance. And he's pretty frenetic and dynamic on stage. To compromise his performance was not going to happen. He would not let this ankle story be anything but a plus. And so he turned the whole show into a tribute to the fact that he's up there giving it to the audience, giving everything he got, and he's making the ankle fracture part of the story. So he designed this throne that was movable with all these, you know, electric features and these guitar handles coming out, and that was his kind of wheelchair, which you don't really do on a rock and roll performance stage. Anyway, he did that, and he pulled it off, and we were having a good time, and it was important that he stay safe. And so we had several visits. And one visit, I flew from L.A. to Boston to see him after his performance at Fenway, check out his ankle, make sure he was doing fine. And he said, Lou, how about performing with us tomorrow night? I'm like, I don't think anyone really wants to hear me perform, and you've never heard me perform, so I don't think that's a good idea. No, this will be great. He says, this will be great. You should do this. I said, well, I don't think it's going to be great. I said, they're paying to see you, the Foo Fighters' 20th anniversary tour. They don't want to really hear the orthopedic surgeon. No, this will be great. This will be great. He says, don't you want to cross this off your checklist? I'm like, Dave, it's not on my checklist. It's very nice. I'm honored. I didn't want to hurt his feelings, you know, because this is a guy that gives it all to the show, and I'm not going to hurt his feelings. He said, no, you got to do this. What songs do you do? And so we went through a bunch of things, and finally it was going to be the Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes, which is a stadium song, and I know that song because I do it in my band. Anyway, he still hadn't heard me perform or sing anything. He just was like, this is going to be great. So he says, okay, we'll rehearse at the jam room, 6 o'clock, be there. So I go there, and nobody's there. And my wife, Erica, my son, Ian, an engineer, we're there. They're going, Dad, you know what? Chill. Lou, chill. It's going to be fine. My wife doesn't call me Dad. Not typically. It's going to be fine. He really likes you. He wants to thank you. But his agent and his fans and everybody else said, don't bring the orthopedic surgeon on stage. That's a buzzkill. So don't worry about it. I said, I'm okay. So anyway, I texted Dave, and he said, yeah, we're going to do it. Come back at 7. I came back at 7. Nobody's there. So it's probably not going to play out. Now, up until this point, I had performed with my son's band, Pigeons Playing Ping Pong, at the Science Center for Halloween. Eric and I did the show. We did She Blinded Me with Science. The song at the Science Center. 2,000 people, not bad, with my son's band, pretty good. But this is going to be like 35,000 people. And so maybe I was relieved. And my wife was like, don't worry, we still love you. I'm like, okay. Anyway, so we're getting ready to go backstage, get the call. Hello, Lou, where are you? I'm like, it's 8 o'clock, we're being shepherded backstage. He said, we're rehearsing. I said, rehearsing 15 minutes before curtain up? You don't do this. I mean, I'm not going to tell him what to do. I mean, he knows what to do. But so So I'm wearing my bow tie. In fact, this actual bow tie. And so I go jogging. And I think I'm the only one that didn't get the memo at Fenway at a rock and roll grunge concert. You don't wear the bow tie. I'm like, nobody told me. I'm on duty. I'm doing my thing. Anyway, so we run up there. They're the Foo Fighters. And I could see the band's concerned, but Dave's totally happy. He's like so happy. My orthopedic doctor's going to join us. Let's do the song. And the guys are like, this better not suck, Dave. But they didn't say that. You could see it in their fingers, Anyway, so we do this song. And I gave him a little bit. I didn't give him the full show. I kind of, held a little back. You always got to hold one back. Lesson number 74, hold one back. Anyway, so I did, and they liked it. They were like totally relieved. They were smiling. They were high fiving. This would not suck was what the overall feeling was. And Dave was like, of course this isn't going to suck. It's going to be fun. Anyway, so I said, where are we going to put this? We'll put this when we're introducing the band. So he says, we'll introduce the keyboard. We'll introduce the bass player. He'll start playing the riff, and I'll bring you out. And there it was. Fast forward to the concert. The show's going great. The crowd's insane. And Dave works the crowd. So he goes, tonight, by chance, my orthopedic doctor is here tonight. The man who made it possible for me to be here today on stage. And he went to my hotel room and he checked out my effing ankle. He did say that. And he said, Dave, tonight you're going to rock Fenway. And I said to him, Lou, so can you. He said, do you know any songs? And Lou said, yes, I know Seven Nation Army. Ladies and gentlemen, my orthopedic doctor, Lou Schoen. Give it up. Lou, show him what you got. Bum, 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 bum. I'm going to fight him off. Bow tie went off like this. The crowd went crazy. I gave fingers, da-da-da. Audience applause, bowed. And then Dave called me over for a hug, big hug on stage. And then I had this whole energy in the stadium. And I took it all, and I waved my hands up in the air, and the crowd got more and more wild. And I took all that energy and put it right down into his cast, almost as good as blowing the chauffeur. Crowd loved it. I walked off the stage. He says, that actually is my orthopedic doctor. And this is where the gnome Danette comes. What a badass. Anyway, so after that, You know, I had the experience of being of what it feels like to be in a viral tsunami. The internet explosion, the cell phone, the emails, the reporters, it was really exciting, and it all came really probably from blowing the shofar. So for those of you who are spiritually inclined, the shofar blowing is something really wonderful, and you never know when it's going to turn into something quite magical. Thank you very much.